Hello, welcome to Unity of Wimberley, Texas. I am the Reverend Jill Carey, and I'm very glad you could join us this morning for our service. It's always nice to connect with you, even though we are apart, we are together, and I'm glad you're here with us. The title of today's talk is The Modern Mystic, What Was Old is New. And I wanted to share a little bit with you about some of the mystics of earlier times, like all the way back to the Middle Ages, and show you how surprisingly relevant their words were in their spiritual practices as mystics, just as we're learning how to be mystics at home during our isolation, our confinement. We've talked about this for the last few Sundays, so I wanted to bring in some of the old words so you can see how they apply to the new times. One of the things that I discovered as I started putting my material together, and the reason I picked the material in the first place, is that I love this work. I love this particular part of history about the early mystics. It's why I did my graduate work in the Middle Ages, and why I wrote so much in graduate school about the mystics. I wrote a huge paper in ministerial school about one of the mystics. And so as I started going over some material again, I discovered that I had way too much to be able to talk about on one Sunday. So I'm going to try to make this short. I know that I promised you Hildegard of Bingen, Meister Eckhart, and at least one of the St. Teresas. I'm not going to be able to get all that in this Sunday, but I will have a little bit for you about Hildegard of Bingen and Meister Eckhart and maybe a little Thomas Aquinas. So before you start yawning or decide to go to another website, just hang with me here, because I think you're going to discover that what you're going to hear today is not what you thought you might hear. First of all, I've had some experience with the teachings of Hildegard, not only because I studied her in graduate school. Her work was recommended to me by one of my graduate advisors who was a Cistercian monk. And he kind of turned me on to the women mystics of the Middle Ages, which was really kind of cool, because this was in the 80s and there were some denominations that were still not ordaining women. So for him to guide me toward women who were leaders in their churches, in their abbesses, in the prioress, was pretty unique. And I've always appreciated that he steered me in that direction. Also, not long after I came to Austin, I met a beautiful singer and a woman who taught people how to sing from their hearts, Susan Lincoln. And some of you know about the group out of Austin called the Hilde Girls, who sang the songs of Hildegard in the way that she actually wrote them. And I was a Hilde girl for a couple of seasons. I think once you're a Hilde girl, you're always a Hilde girl. And I can tell you that singing the words of this woman from the 14th century made a difference to me. It changed me every time I sang those old words in Latin. So listen today and hear if something is relevant for you, because we're in a time of learning how to be with ourselves and have our spiritual practices by ourselves for the most part. And we're in a great shift in humanity. Any of you who joined in the Wednesday night class this week, our friend Lisa taught about the chakras and about the different ages that we reach chakra development throughout our lives. We kind of go through the cycle over and over again. And in addition to us doing that, there's also a cycle that humanity is going through, And right now we are moving from the solar plexus to the heart. And this is an important time for humanity. It's an important time for us to embrace universal love, not just love for the people that we agree with, not just our family and friends, but to find universal love for all people. And of course, that's so important. It's so vital right now when the well of our compassion is being tapped into all the time for those who are suffering and dying, for those who are without jobs, for people who are struggling through this pandemic. So Hildegard's words are so important so that we might find our way to our heart chakra, that we might find the way to see our relationship with God, our relationship with the divine, as something that is growing every single day. And when I talk about her a little more, you'll see why I keep coming back to this heart chakra in just a few minutes. I'd like to tell you first, though, that Hildegard was not just a nun who sat in a nunnery, a convent, and had mystical visions and wrote about them. Hildegard was a very busy woman, and she came up against the patriarchy of the church, which was pretty unique for her day. So she was courageous, she was enlightened, and I'd like to share with you just a few things that she did. She had 26 visions about which she wrote. She wrote 77 lyric poems. This is what the Hilde girls have sung. We have sung the music that she wrote to the words of her teachings. She had writings on the lives of the saints. She had writings about scientific observations of medicine, of natural history, natural life. So she was pretty amazing in the scope of her knowledge and the scope of being willing to put it out there. She also created her own language and an alphabet to go with it, so that she could express through that language things that she might not have been able to express through her native language of German or through Latin. So I'd like to read a few things to you about her accomplishments. She was an overpowering presence. She was an electrifying presence. And she did and said things that were so much more vital and living and active than some of the teachings of the church at that time. She was also in communication with the world leaders at that time, people such as I said 13th century, she was actually 12th century, Bernard of Clairvaux, who was a great theologian and philosopher, Queen Eleanor of Aquitaine, Emperor Frederick Barbarossa, Frederick the Red. She was the first known female composer in the Western world. So she was not just sitting about minding her business in a convent someplace. She was busy. She was out touring. She was giving talks. And this was a very unprecedented thing for a woman to do. And the reason I keep bringing this up to you is because your active mysticism does not mean just sitting and meditating. It doesn't mean a solitary practice. It can also mean going about your daily work, having a daily product, if you will. It means being with people when you can, doing your work, and being a mystic. So let me just share with you that she was pretty traditional in her teaching. She taught a lot of things in correspondence with what the church was teaching at that time. But the visions that she had, they referred to them as scintillating scotomata. In other words, probably migraines. But these visions that she had, and they were visions of blinding light. The visions that she had, she interpreted that light from what we would now call a migraine, when you have an aura. She interpreted that in religious terms and was a little afraid of them when they first started happening when she was young, and had to talk with someone about why this was going on and what was she supposed to do about it. So she decided to explain it in religious terms. So she was fairly traditional in her teachings, but the one time that she clashed with the church was because she and her nuns were placed under prohibition because they buried an excommunicated benefactor in the graveyard at the convent. And knowing that he had been reconciled with God before his death, they endured months of having the sacraments. They didn't have communion, they didn't have last rites, they didn't have music, until they were cleared by the Archbishop of Cologne. And then Hildegard died the year after that. So she stuck to her guns. They knew that burying that excommunicated person was okay because they knew he was reconciled with God. And that was good enough for her. Let's see, let me find some other things I'd like to share with you about her words exactly. She said, every creature is a glittering, glistening mirror of divinity. And this is exactly what we teach in New Thought, isn't it? That we are reflections of the divine, that the divine lives in us. Every creature is a glittering, glistening mirror of divinity. That would be a good affirmation to put on your mirror, literally on your mirror, that's who you are. And that's who you have always been. And that's what humans have always been. And I love the way that Hildegard expressed that, because it takes away some of the dryness that we think about of those early church writings. She saw the earth as a living organism endowed with the same vital power that animates all life forms. It was a central theme in her life and her work. She declared, the earth sustains humanity. It must not be injured. It must not be destroyed. I'll just let those words sink in for a moment, because Hildegard was talking about preserving our natural world back in the 12th century. In Hildegard's worldview, a beam of sunlight, the fragrance of a flower, or the graceful movement of a swan were all participants in the holy chorus of creation. To be out of sync with the beauty and fecundity, the fertility of nature, is to deny the divine force which enlivens body and soul. In other words, that which we see greening and growing out there in the world, the very essence of nature, is also what animates us. She called this greening power viriditas. And if you know the roots of words, the viriditas would mean the greening of things. And mentioned this earlier, the color of the heart chakra is green. And so that's why it's so important to look at Hildegard today, because viriditas, the greening of life through God, was one of her central and strongest teachings. And it says here that Hildegard wasn't the first mystic or philosopher to venerate nature or to speak of a mysterious energy that underpins and sustains the visible world. You can also find these words in the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, the Tibetan Buddhism worldview. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita said, I am the taste of pure water and the radiance of the sun and moon. I am the sweet fragrance in the earth and the radiance of fire. I am the life in every creature. Now compare what Hildegard said. She said, the voice of the living light spoke to her of the mystery which animates creation. I am the breeze that nurtures all things green. I encourage blossoms to flourish with ripening fruits. I adorn all the earth. I am the rain coming from the dew that causes the grass to laugh with this joy of life. Don't you love that? Isn't that just beautiful? And especially right now, we can go outside and we can become mystics looking at what's blossoming, looking at what's blooming. I talked to you last week about our baby birds that are learning to fly. The other day I saw a roadrunner, a mature roadrunner, hanging out in the neighborhood. So it's beautiful to be able to look at what's out there in nature, especially now that we have the time for it. And as we look out there in nature, we can also see what is greening in us. What is growing in us? What connects us with all of life? I don't know if you can see this, but I want to show you, she was also an artist, this image of the cosmic tree or the tree of life. Look at that beautiful thing. This was her artwork. And so many of us love the idea of the tree of life because we are connected with all things. Just a little bit more about Hildegard before we go here. The idea of Veriditas, I just love that. I've sung it. I believe in it. Hildegard believed in it. She said, humanity, take a good look at yourself. You've got heaven and earth and all of creation. You're a world. Everything is hidden in you. So she saw no difference between us and the natural world. This idea of the tree that I showed you, the soul is in the body, just like the sap is in the tree. Understanding grows in the soul, just like the greening of branches and the leaves of the tree. Therefore, O person, you who think your understanding is good, understand what you are in your soul. The soul is a breath of the living spirit and with excellent sensitivity permeates the entire body to give it life. Just so, the breath of the air makes the earth fruitful. Thus, the air is the soul of the earth, moistening it, greening it. For Hildegard, the earth was sacred. And so as much as I would love to continue to talk about her, I think you can get the idea here that we too, especially with our beautiful place on the hill, we too are the greening people of the earth. We understand the value and the depth of having nature right here, right now, and being able to see ourselves in it, to be able to look at that reflection. Again, I have a beautiful cactus that's native to Bolivia. And this cactus shoots out, it's supposed to be a night blooming cactus, but I guess maybe because we're in a different hemisphere, it blooms during the day. And it's the most beautiful, white, fragrant blossom that comes out of this prickly little cactus. And it lasts for one day. And it brings so much joy just for one day to have that beautiful blossom there. And so I like to kind of think of myself as every day I get to be a new blossom. Every day you get to be a new blossom. Oh my goodness, this is gonna, I wish I could just spend more time with you on this. Meister Eckhart was also, he was born in 1260, so he was a little bit after Hildegard. He was a radical panentheist. So let me explain to you just exactly what that is if you don't know. All in God and God in all. So that goes beyond just theism, which means that there's a transcendent God up there who sometimes intervenes down here. That would be the traditional theism, and it goes beyond pantheism, where all is God. God is not more than the sum of creation. So So panentheism means God is all and all is God, everything. And so Eckhart, Meister Eckhart talked about these things as well, about life being right here and right now, and what he urged us to do. While Hildegard was talking about Veritas, about the greening of the earth, the juiciness of life, the juiciness of the spirit, Eckhart was urging us to fall in love with God. And that may seem like kind of an odd term for us to talk about falling in love with spirit, because we are of spirit and spirit is of us. But if we're falling in love with God, we're also falling in love with ourselves, with the very essence of ourselves. And there is no separation. And he spoke about that a lot. Basically, he said, if you think you've defined God, then you've lost God. I'll see if I can find that quote here in just a moment. Here are some of the things that he said. God is at home, man abroad. Be thoroughly dead and buried in God. In other words, yourself has to be united with God. It must be. I pray to God to make me free of God, for his unconditional being is above God and all distinctions. The authorities that say God is a being, an intelligent being who knows everything, I disagree and say that God is neither a being nor intelligent and doesn't know either this or that. God is free of everything, and therefore he is everything. If I had a God I could understand, I would no longer consider him God. So Eckhart was encouraging us to find the mystery in God, to fall in love with that which we are so much a part of that we cannot be separated from it. I'd encourage you, because we certainly don't have time to go into all of this now, but I would encourage you to find Meister Eckhart's teachings and read them. They're not that hard to read. And you'll find the same kind of reading if you look at another Eckhart of the 20th and 21st century, Eckhart Tolle. Well, he wrote about modern mysticism as well, about how to become free of ourselves, ego-wise, and to become all of God. Goodness, there's a whole glossary that goes with Eckhart's teaching. He said, this is directly from his words, I hold this to be best, that a man should give himself over to God and let God throw on him what he will, offenses, work, or suffering, and that man, then he takes them gladly and thankfully, allowing God to put such things upon him, even if he does not choose them for himself. That sounds like our lives. There are things that we would not choose, but they visit us anyway. To learn from God gladly in all things and to follow after God only is to be on the right track. That's pretty simple. That's pretty simple. That kind of puts to rest all of our suffering, because we decide that we will let God teach us. Oh, goodness, I'm running out of time and trying to find the last couple of good quotes from Meister Eckhart that I know you'll appreciate. Keep this in mind. To be full of things is to be empty of God, while to be empty of things is to be full of God. He was certainly pointing toward what is important and where we should put our priorities. Here's the last one I'll leave with you. Some people want to see God with their eyes as they see a cow, and to love him as they love their cow. They love their cow for the milk and the cheese and the profit it makes them. This is how it is with people who love God for the sake of outward wealth or inward comfort. They do not rightly love God when they love him for their own advantage. Indeed, I tell you the truth. Any object you have on your mind, however good, will be a barrier between you and the utmost truth. And so, beloved, in just a few words from the ancient mystics, we have a foundation for a deeper relationship with God, a foundation for falling in love with God. We have a foundation for setting our priorities, to find God in everything, to use everything that comes to us. For Hildegard, it was her migraines that she interpreted as religious visions. For Eckhart, anything that comes upon us as human beings, they are for us to be taught by the divine. And so these two ancient people in the 12th and 13th centuries are saying words that are so relevant to us today. We are in a time of uncertainty. We are in a time of unknowing. And we are in a time in which we can grow in ways that we might not have grown before. Some of us are being taxed greatly through this. If so, know that you are as valuable and as green as that new shoot of grass, that new blossom, that new fruit. You are that green. We cannot be jaded, can we, if we believe that we are as new as the next breath. We cannot be separated from God, because God is all that there is. And so as you go about your modern mystic practice, I invite you to remember the words of Hildegard and of Meister Eckhart. Look them up for yourself. They're easy to find on Google. And if you can find a recording of Hildegard's music, I think you'll find that it will bring you peace, whether you understand the Latin or not. And now let us take a few moments for our meditation. Just a moment to breathe. So especially in this meditation, beloved, I want you to think about and live within the breath of life. Imagine, if you will, the coursing of blood throughout your body, sustaining you. I want you to think about the senses that you have that still work for you, whether it's sight or hearing or smell or taste or touch. Even that other sense of being able to know that which is unseen. Imagine the next moment of life that you experience, rather than something being a burden to you or a difficulty. Imagine just for a second that you're biting into a piece of juicy fruit. Imagine just for that moment that you cannot breathe without breathing God. That there is no place that you can go. There is no feeling that you can feel. There is nothing that can trouble you or pain you or bring you grief in which God is not present. Because God is present in everything. Is it possible, beloved, to take your questing mind out of the equation just for a moment and let your greening heart of universal love embrace the mystery of God? Can you let your heart of love your Creator as your Creator loves you, because there is no separation and love is what matters? If your spirituality is dry for you, begin to look for the juicy things. If life is a celebration, then give thanks always. And beloved, in this last moment of this meditation together, will you fully commit your heart, that chakra, that energy, that transformation that we're all moving into right now, will you commit yourself to it fully? To let God in you, as everything around you, be love for the healing of this planet. Can you say, yes, I am willing to let more and more of God express through me? Yes, I am. I am. Put your hand over your heart and say, I am. I am. And breathe in a deep breath of conviction and relief and knowing. For you have recognized that which is true, that which is eternal. And for this we are grateful. We say thank you, God, and so it is. And I reach out, as always, to you, my friends, my beloved friends. I reach out to you with my hands and with my heart to be with you and to join with you on our journey together while we're apart. And to say I love you and bless you and appreciate you so much. Let your blessings continue to pour out upon the earth as the earth heals itself, as the human race heals itself. I love you, and amen.